It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Hi, Bob. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. And I know we're going to be talking today about inflammation. And I guess a lot of the products that are at Boomers, you know, help fight that, because most people don't understand that inflammation is the source of almost every illness that we have, correct?
Yeah, about 95%.
95%. So now that it's a brand new beginning of 2020, and we have a chance to maybe get healthy, if people are interested in that as part of their maybe New Year's resolution, let's begin the program with understanding how to combat inflammation.
Yeah, sure. So they say inflammation causes about 95% of all disease. So that includes heart disease, strokes, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, which are the main things that people tend to die from and have caused significant disability.
I have a question for you, too, because I have a couple of people that I know that have rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that that is an inflammatory disease. But does it start in the joints, or is it something that they just have inflammation in their body and then it settles in the joints?
Well, with rheumatoid arthritis, it's a little bit different in that it's, you know, rheumatoid arthritis is specifically an inflammatory disease, and it's usually autoimmune.
Okay.
So you are having an issue in your immune system and in the control mechanisms of your immune system, and you are misidentifying your joints as a pathogen, something that needs to be gotten rid of. And so you're attacking your joints. And so where that begins is a discussion in regard to autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, you know, elemental causes of autoimmune diseases that result in this inflammation. So inflammation, you know, it comes about for many, many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And autoimmune issues is just one of those reasons. Yeah.
I have another question, because I can imagine that some of our listeners might be going, so are babies sometimes born with inflammation, or is that something that kind of happens over time?
Well, everyone has inflammation to a degree, because human beings are aerobic life. We are like a log burning in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And our log lasts for approximately 100 years, 85 to 100 years. And so over time, our body, which is producing inflammatory compounds as part of aerobic life, is burning itself up over time. So even a baby has already begun burning itself up.
And so some people are going to burn up more quickly than others, I guess.
Yeah, some people will burn up more quickly than others, and different species burn up more quickly than others. So,
male versus female, or what?
Meaning that if you look at different parts of life across the spectrum on the planet, you have things like birds and mice that will live for a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the way to some of the turtles and whales that will live for a very long time.
And even trees, because there are certain trees that live for hundreds and hundreds of years, and others not so much.
Right. And so if you look at what the difference is between, say, a mouse and a human being, where we're going to live 10 times as long as a mouse, is the issue of inflammation.
Interesting.
Yeah. And in particular, they measure one particular antioxidant that helps keep inflammation down, which is SOD, or superoxide dismutase. And the more of it that an animal has, the longer they're going to live. And so because they have this anti-inflammatory compound in more abundance, their body lives for a lot longer. So
what about, like, going back to the tree, do trees have SOD?
Plants have SOD. All plants have SOD, and they have it at different times of their life cycle. They'll have more or less. And so what we do is we capture SOD from plants, which in this case is the form of sprouted barley seeds. So there's a certain point in the sprouting process of a barley seed where the SOD is very, very high. And so the scientist that makes our product stops the sprout from sprouting right when that enzyme and other enzymes along with it are at their peak in that sprouting process.
That's got to be a tough thing to do.
Yeah. And then they, then right as the sprout is stopped, all the nutrients in the sprout are stabilized so that they themselves do not succumb to oxidation. And then, which is inflammation, right? And then that way, for example, SOD, the main antioxidant in the human body, has a half-life of only 10 minutes. So when your body makes this wonderful antioxidant to help keep your inflammation down, in 10 minutes, it's half gone. And 10 minutes later, it's half gone again, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not a, it's a fleeting enzyme, okay? But in the nutrient stabilization process used for our sprouted barley seeds, that half-life is extended to approximately 4 years. And so since people consume a canister of it once a month and it arrives to us and it's given out, you know, people have way more than enough antioxidant in that sprouted barley seed powder. So that they can keep their inflammation down.
You know, so somebody that has been diagnosed with cancer, with diabetes, you know, with one of the serious diagnoses that you can get, if they're using this sprouted barley, what can they anticipate changing? You know, I mean, the inflammation is going to go down, but what are they going to actually experience?
Or, well, in general, Lucy, the way that this works is that if you want to be in really robust health and free of disease, you have to be able to rebuild your body essentially as fast or faster than you're burning it up. And up until just recently, everybody was actually burning their body up faster than they were repairing it because their inflammation was such and their ability to repair was such, and they weren't in balance, okay? And so, but now, when people take actions to reduce their inflammation and also at the same time increase their ability to rebuild themselves, then they stop the downward spiral of progressively losing possession of their physical resources, and they can turn that around to where they're actually rebuilding themselves and actually start to feel better, feel more like they did when they were young, have stronger, more energy, more flexibility, better eyesight, all the things that you would expect from a younger person. So that's what happens.
Okay, so if they were maybe, I don't know, 40 years old when they got diagnosed, and their log had been burning for a little bit of time, then when they start using something like this barley, they might anticipate that after being on it for 6 months or a year, instead of being 40, they might actually, their bodies might actually be more like they were 35.
That's very true. And you are able to measure your rate of inflammation fairly easily in your bloodstream. And it's done with an enzyme that is produced by your liver in response to inflammation. It's called C-reactive protein, or CRP. And so you can have a test, a blood test, that tells you what your CRP level is, and then you will know where you are and you can endeavor to reduce it. So the average person, it has the about a 3 on the scale, and the scale essentially goes from 1 to 5. If you're above 5, you have tons of inflammation. If you're between 3 and 5, you're at pretty significant risk of a disease caused by inflammation. The idea is to get it down below 0.5. And if you can get it down below 0.5 to 0.3 or 0.2, then you're never going to have any issues related to inflammation. And so in order to accomplish that, you have to have compounds in your diet that are supplementing what your own body makes as antioxidants. Mm-hmm. So if you were to have a child, for example, is born and they made no superoxide dismutase at all, mm-hmm. okay, that child would probably live to be a year old at most.
At most. Wow.
And so what happens is that child's making lots of superoxide dismutase. It's keeping their inflammation really low, and they continue to make lots of it until they're in their 20s. But then when you get into your late 20s and early 30s, you start making less SOD from your own genetic code.
So you have to replace it.
Right. And so now you begin to age faster, and that's why people age faster as they get older. Mm-hmm. And so now you have to be able to replace that, but it's not the only antioxidant that helps with inflammation, because what superoxide dismutase is doing is it's helping to neutralize a particular compound that causes inflammation called superoxide, right? Mm. So you have superoxide is the inflammatory molecule, and superoxide dismutase, to neutralize is made by your genetic code, okay? So you need other things too, though, because you're making other kinds of free radicals that mm-hmm. are other than superoxide. So you also need to have other compounds like glutathione, vitamin C, trimethylglycine, etc. And so we make sure that all of those compounds are in the combination of powders we give people that we call the dynamic combo. Mm-hmm. And so we're giving people our product Boomer Boost and the barley, and they, in combination, they have all of the antioxidants that you need.
So in a way, it's sort of like if that log that's you mentioned, you know, you're burning mm-hmm. at both ends. And so the sod, the dismutase part of it, is like the water that puts out the fire.
Yeah.
In a way. So, I mean, from a visual point of view, people could say, yes, my body has been burning up. I'm now 40. I'm now 45. I don't feel like I did when I was 30.
Right.
And they have an opportunity to actually go back and feel that way.
That's correct. And so you have to also look at, you know, you can take an individual who's even 40 years old who might have a C-reactive protein level of, say, 1.5, mm-hmm. and you could have another one that has a level of 5, mm-hmm. and they may be producing the same amount of SOD, right? Mm. But what are some of the other things people have to watch out for? Because you want to both eliminate the causes of the inflammation, and you want to ingest the antioxidants at the same time. So some of the other things are your diet. So people that eat a lot of high glycemic index carbs and sugars and processed foods mm-hmm. have much, much higher inflammation than people who don't. Mm-hmm. And so really big one right there. People that eat poorly and consume lots of bad carbs are aging very rapidly.
All right. So if you were in a grocery store, shopping the perimeter, like they say, is probably the healthiest thing, other than maybe going for paper towels and toilet paper down the center of the store, you know, to try and stay in the fresh produce and healthier meats, grass-fed, as an example, maybe versus ones that have hormones injected into them.
That and processed food. So if you are eating food from the freezers that are processed by the big name mm-hmm. food companies, mm-hmm. okay, the compounds they use to preserve and process those foods are inflammatory.
Right.
And then, of course, as you go down many other aisles, you're going to come across things like potato chips, right? So potato chips are high glycemic index carbs, and they're loaded with trans fats, which are highly inflammatory.
Okay? You know what's sad to me, you know, because I used to work with families that didn't have a lot of money after I came to Florida as a therapist, and the less expensive foods are the ones that they shouldn't be eating. the more expensive foods that they can afford, the fruits and vegetables and better meat, better dairy products and things of that nature are just pricier. So it's kind of sad in that regard. I mean, we don't live on farms anymore where we can go out in the garden and, you know, bring in our produce and bring in, you know, maybe eggs and things that we know are healthy.
So, yeah. It was the, you know, the Industrial Revolution where people started moving off of the farms and moving into the cities, and the industry itself helped the farmers become more productive. So you needed less people living on farms. Mm-hmm. And, but they, of course, they had to preserve the food to get it from the farm into the city. Right. And so that's when the quality of the food started to go down. But also as the population went up and we used really poor farming practices, the quality of the soil got depleted as well. Mm-hmm. And so the nutrients, including antioxidants that would be in the food, are not in there anymore.
Well, even a lot of the pesticides that are used, you know, to help grow bigger produce, whether mm-hmm. it's corn, wheat, oats, whatever it might be. But even with that, it's changing the soil, you know, because when you put that on a plant, it's going into the soil that the plant's growing in. And I believe it's nitrates that are mm-hmm. then changed as a result. So, yeah, we're kind of shooting ourselves in both feet, not just in one of them.
Exactly. Now, some of the other things that are doing this are toxins that we're exposed to also mm-hmm. cause inflammation. So the toxins in the air, mm-hmm. both the outside air, so you have toxins from car fumes, you have toxins from jet fumes, and in places like where we are in Tampa, St. Pete, we are a port town, the port of Tampa. Mm-hmm. And so the port towns like San Diego, Tampa, New York, we have much, much higher levels of really damaging air pollution because the ships are putting out this pollution. And so we're exposed to that a lot more.
Just from their exhaust, you know, as they're coming into port?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. And so like for us, the ships are coming in underneath the Sunshine Skyway Bridge and into the port of Tampa and then back out. And so the closer you are to the port, mm-hmm. the more toxicity in the air, right? But in a region like ours, the toxicity in general is higher.
And it just kind of hangs because we have so much humidity, so it doesn't blow away as easily either.
Yes. And so that's like the outdoor air quality mm-hmm. and also, you know, where we are in the county we are. It's the most densely populated county in the state of Florida. So we have a lot more air pollution than less densely populated places. So because we have so many cars and so many roads, there's a lot of tire dust and a lot of car fumes.
You know, I don't think they understand even what tire dust is. They think it's dirt in the air. And on my lanai, I can go out every other day with like paper towels to wipe off the furniture because there's like a black, almost a gritty quality. Mm-hmm. And that's just tire dust that floats in the air and settles.
Yeah. And it floats way up into the air over a mile and it spreads out and comes down into the farms and all over the whole of the country is covered in tire dust because of the way that it drifts. And pesticides do the same thing. So
even when they say organic foods, strawberries, things of that nature that we have here, mm-hmm. it's pretty hard for them to be totally organic because of the drifting of pesticides and, like you said, tire dust.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're absolutely still true. You're still consuming some of that even though you're buying.
Yeah, you're just not consuming foods that have been sprayed directly with pesticides where there's a high concentration. There's much, much lower concentration
and then
just from drift.
Some.
Yeah. But the other thing about air quality is the indoor air quality of your house, right? Mm-hmm. And so as people are out and about during the day, they are picking up toxins on their shoes. So you're picking up the tire dust on the bottom of your shoes, pesticides that are on the sidewalk that were sprayed on the grass and it drifted onto the sidewalks, etc. And so then people bring their shoes inside the house, they take them off, they leave them by the door, and all night long their shoes are off-gassing toxins. And that's actually worse than the pollution that's in the air during the when you're outside.
You know what?
So
I was
the
thinking.
Indoor air quality is worse because it's more concentrated.
Wow. Because I was thinking, you know, most people put their shoes in their closet,
right,
and don't have them all over the house. But I mean, the pollution level inside of a closet must be really high then.
Well, not only that, but closets quite often tend to be in people's bedrooms,
yes,
where you're sleeping.
Yes.
So the best thing to do is leave your shoes outside the house. So if you can leave them out on the stoop and or out in the garage, and if you have 20 pairs of shoes and 16 of them you only wear once in a great while, you can leave those inside the house. But your shoes that you're wearing all the time, mm-hmm, coming and going, you, mm-hmm, want to always try to leave your shoes outside.
Wow.
And that's a really big advantage for reducing inflammation.
Interesting. I would not have thought of that.
The other things that cause inflammation are the foods you consume, mm-hmm, but also plastics. So there's plastics everywhere in the society, and people are getting exposed to plastic, and plastic itself causes inflammation, but it also has more direct effects on causing cancer as well. And
I've heard that even babies, when they're born, they can test for plastics.
Yeah, yeah.
So they come through the amniotic fluid.
Yeah, and so you want to obviously be aware of this as an issue, and just try to eliminate your exposure to plastics as much as you can. It's almost impossible to avoid environmental toxins. You are going to be exposed to them.
Mm-hmm. If you're alive, you're going to be exposed.
Yeah, and most people are going to be exposed to a tremendous amount of environmental toxins, mm-hmm, from in your water, in your food, in the air, et cetera. And so you want to be able to constantly get rid of those toxins out of your body. And there are compounds that are in the products that we were talking about in Boomer Boost and Barley, mm-hmm, that will be watching for those toxins and binding them and moving them out of your body. They do a good job with everything except for the heavy metals. And the heavy metals you can mitigate with zeolite. And people are exposed to a lot of heavy metals during the day, and you want to have a plan to be getting those heavy metals out of your body on a constant basis. So we have a product called Zeolite that's liquid. You just put a drop on your tongue once a day, and it will get rid of the heavy metals that you might have accumulated the day before. If you've never used it, you want to do a 4 or 6 month heavy metal detox where you would use the Zeolite, slowly build up one, mm-hmm, drop a day till you get to 10 drops. And you might want to use 10 drops for 4 or 5 or 6 months to get the heavy metals out. And then from there, just use a drop a day so that as you gather heavy metals, they're constantly being taken out of your body.
People that work in industries where they're exposed, you know, to copper, to lead, to, you know, things, mm-hmm, like that. Where do those heavy metals land? Do they go into like fat tissues? Is that where they stay?
Yep. Well,
until they're gone?
Well, the heavy metals will be in a lot of your tissue. So, mm-hmm, and they're leaf loading around in your blood.
Okay.
And they coagulate in your hair. Your body's trying to get rid of them, right? The excess, and it can't always do that. And so that's why people will be able to notice their heavy metal load by doing a hair analysis, because a lot of the heavy metals are coming out through your hair. And so zeolite is a honeycomb type of molecule and the heavy metals are attracted to it. And then once that honeycomb is that molecule is filled with heavy metals, it then moves out of your body and drags them out with you.
Now, is the process of elimination of heavy metals, is it mostly through urine?
Urine and feces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of the time people will notice a change in the color of their urine. In worst case scenario, it'll be black,
wow,
as heavy metals come out.
Okay.
And that will only last for a couple of weeks until the majority of it.
And do they go to the bathroom more frequently because of the body trying to rid itself of these heavy metals?
if you drink enough water.
Okay. Well, so drink a lot of water.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. So the other things that cause inflammation is nutritional deficiencies, like a deficiency in vitamin D3 is going to contribute to inflammation, and deficiency in glutathione, those types of things. So you have to realize that you're not going to be able to eat enough good food to have the amount of antioxidants that you want to have in order to live as healthfully for as long as you can. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the nutritional supplementation comes in. If you want to design a life that's free of inflammation, free of disease, and allows you to be robust and healthy, you have to have a plan for doing that.
I think a lot of people are very confused because they hear their doctor in particular, or even a nutritionist, say, as long as you eat, you know, good fruits and vegetables and meat and a balanced, you know, that you're getting enough. And that's simply not accurate, is it?
No, it's not even close to accurate. It's actually a fool statement to say that in this day and age. It's just people saying something that they really don't know anything about. It's just not really, unless you live on an organic farm where you can harvest vegetables of many, many different kinds year round, and your soil has really great quality to it, you're not going to be able to get enough nutrients to live as healthfully as you could. Mm-hmm. People have been taking nutritional supplements and herbs and things for all kinds of reasons, including reducing inflammation, for over 5,000 years. And so you, and nowadays, because of all the new discoveries, the great new scientific discoveries and formulations and extraction methods of getting compounds out of plants, there's more than enough knowledge and information and product availability for people to live extremely healthfully. But if you're the average person that lives in a city, which most people do, a city or a town, you're shopping at your grocery store, and you're shopping all throughout the grocery store, your diet is what's called SAD, the standard American diet. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the standard American diet is a catastrophe waiting to happen. It's, you are absolutely going to be sick in your older age if you're following the standard American diet. Right. And if you do not have access to information that's very well distilled and products that have been formulated properly to help you with your health and wellness, you're just gambling with your life.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Lucy, for example, about half of all heart attacks are heart attacks that people have that do not have any problems at all with their cholesterol. But they have these heart attacks, which these widowmaker heart attacks, mm-hmm. where literally they will keel over and die. And the very first symptom of them having a problem with their heart is sudden death.
It's sudden death.
Yeah. And so we now know that sudden death heart attack is related to inflammation. Mm. So it is, if you don't know your CRP number and you don't know how to get stabilized superoxide dismutase, you're, like I said, it's a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Yeah. So I guess two things at this point that are coming across loud and clear would be, the next time somebody goes in to see their doctor for any kind of lab work, to request a C-reactive protein test,
right,
so that they will know that number, and they want it to be at least below 1, but preferably below 0.5.
That's correct.
And the other thing is, if they want to get, beginning at least, to get healthy, they can contact Boomers, and they would be able to get on the Dynamic Combo, which is the boost, which has all of the vitamins and minerals in it. And then there's two kinds of barley. I believe it's a Boomer barley and a Gladiator barley. Mm-hmm. So why don't you explain the difference between those two? Because if somebody calls in, they're going to be asked, I think, which one of those do they want?
Right. So both types of barley are made from heirloom seeds, which are seeds that are unchanged. Their original seed forms from before 1940, and they tend to have a lot more nourishment in the sprouts and in the eventual grass that's grown from these seeds. The Gladiator barley is a different seed line. It's a more ancient seed line, and it tends to have more amino acids in it by about double. So amino acids are the building blocks of proteins, and proteins are the building blocks of human life. So if you are a person that needs more protein, and because you are underweight, you're sick, you've recently lost a lot of weight, you're going through treatment for cancer or some other treatment that's making you unable to eat, you have a problem where maybe you have no large intestine, it's been removed, things like that, where people need extra protein, or if they are just average size and average health, but they want to gain muscle weight, which is a really good idea to do, because number one, that's where your fat burning enzymes are. And number two, if you ever do get sick, say you got bit by a spider or you got bit by a snake and you went into a catabolic state and your body was very, very ill, and people do die from spider bites and snake bites.
Brown recluse. Okay?
Yeah. And so if this happens to you, you could very easily die because you would muscle waste away to nothing. Mm-hmm. But if you had an extra 20 pounds of muscle on your body, you have a much higher rate of survival in some type of an accident, some type of a environmental type of a situation, or in the event that you got cancer. Right. And so the Gladiator barley is for becoming very, very robust and strong and having extra muscle. Some people don't want to have extra muscle. They've already got enough. They have already got an extra 20 pounds and they don't want to gain 20 more pounds of muscle because they have to change, get all new clothes. Right. Their legs are going to be bigger. Their shoulders be bigger. Their chest will be bigger and your clothes wouldn't fit anymore. Right. So particularly women that want to be slender and look slender are probably not going to take Gladiator barley, but they can get all the benefits without being bulked up by using the what we call boomer barley or heirloom barley. So that is, it has the superoxide dismutase in it. It has all the other enzymes, just not as much amino acids.
Okay, so if somebody were calling in again for reduction of inflammation and just getting healthy, the boomer boost and then one of those two barleys, depending on their needs.
That's correct. And the boomer boost has 70 compounds in it. Mm-hmm. It has the vitamins and minerals you mentioned, and vitamin A, C, and E are antioxidants that reduce inflammation. But it also has other specific antioxidants in it. So trimethylglycine is a very powerful antioxidant, as is glutathione. And both of those are in the product, and other things as well. So the other thing that's really important to know is circulation is equally important to reducing your inflammation. You want to increase your circulation because the vitamins and minerals and antioxidants that are really good for you need to be circulated via your arterial system, and you have to be able to get the nutrients to the cell. And many people that have high inflammation also have very poor circulation. So a person who's had diabetes for a long time has been extremely inflamed. That inflammation is causing damage to their peripheral nerves, to their arteries, and their circulation diminishes dramatically. And now they have even less antioxidants to the targeted areas. And that's why people end up with amputations and neuropathy when they have diabetes. So in the Boomer Boost product are other compounds that help with circulation, including arginine, including phosphatidylcholine, and the like, and other things for making your heart strong, you know, coenzyme Q10 and that type of thing.
Well, I know, you know, at Boomers, you've had a number of people that are diabetic that have been facing dialysis, and they've been able to reverse, you know, that situation so that they don't have to go on dialysis. And, you know, maybe it's going to prevent them from losing some body part because of poor circulation.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So people tend to, that have diabetes, tend to have problems with their eyes and their kidneys and their periphery. Mm-hmm. And all those things are improved when you reduce inflammation. Mm-hmm. For some people with diabetes, it's hard to get their blood sugar down, which is what's leading to the inflammation. But even if you have very high blood sugar, you can lower your inflammation by using the compounds that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So someone that might have an A1C of 8, which is very, very high blood sugar, even in that case, could have a C-reactive protein at 0.1 or 0.2.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and we have customers that have that scenario going on.
So I bet their doctors are really puzzled.
What they basically say is if you didn't have a high A1C, high blood sugar, no one would ever know that you're a diabetic.
That's right.
And these are people that have had diabetes for 35, 40 years.
Now, are they still on insulin at that point?
Yes.
Yes. So they don't come off of insulin, but they don't have the log burning at both ends at such a rapid pace.
Right. Right. Exactly. Okay. And so basically the reason for that is when people have high blood sugar, that extra sugar that's in their blood that won't drop into their cells to be burned for fuel doesn't just sit there in the blood. It bumps up against proteins and glycates them and renders the protein into a toxin. And in that glycating event, it throws off a molecule of superoxide, which is the hot coal that's burning you up. Okay. So the higher your blood sugar, the more superoxide you're going to make in your blood, right? So, but if you take in enough superoxide dismutase by mouth, it can negate all of that. And that's why it works. Okay, there's a couple other things, Lucy, in regard to the blood test you're talking about.
Right.
Okay, so the other one is to get your vitamin D3 level checked, right? And that in that case, you want that number to be around 70 to 80, right? Most people are down around 30. So it's less than half of where you really need it to be. It's easy then to take between 5 and 10,000 international units of vitamin D3 by mouth in little pills to raise your D3 level.
How long does it take to maybe get it up from a 31, 35? I've heard of those numbers.
Yep.
I've seen it. 70.
I've seen it in as little as a month, and I've seen it take as much as 6 months.
Okay.
Depends on the person.
And that is your immune system.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your vitamin D3 has an effect on not only your immune system, but on every system in your body because of its effect on your genetic expression, right? So you, in order to make proteins, your DNA has to be signaled to reveal the code so your RNA can make the protein, right? And about 25% of your entire genome is being signaled by vitamin D3.
So if you have a low one, then
you're
it can't
low,
signal
there's
it.
Lots of proteins that aren't being made.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's a big reason for it. The other equally important thing that people need to know about in a blood test is what is their iron level. Mm-hmm. So iron's very important. It is part of the mechanism for transporting oxygen to your cells. So you, for example, could live for 30 to 90 days without eating any food. You could live for as much as 10 days, but probably only about 5 without drinking any water. But without oxygen, you can only live for 5 minutes. So oxygen obviously is critical, and oxygen is transported by hemoglobin, which is, and iron is part of the hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. And so if you're very low in iron, you're going to end up being low in oxygen. But if you are high in iron, you're going to have high inflammation. And the reason is that the iron will interact with another waste product of your metabolism. So as you make energy, as you make ATP, the molecule of energy, you throw off hydrogen peroxide as a waste product, so to speak. And if an iron, when it hits hydrogen peroxide, makes a really nasty free radical that burns you up really fast, particularly burns up your mitochondria, which are in charge of making the energy. And so you can, in fact, have low energy from having low iron, and you can also have low energy from having high iron.
That's right. Really interesting.
Right. And so you want to know your iron level, because it's very common these days for people to have high iron, and iron is not part of the standard test that's done by your doctor these days.
So how do people get high iron?
It just begins to accumulate in your body over time, and you're sluggish, you're not exercising, you're not moving around, and so it's very easy in the day, in this day and age of people being couch potatoes, for that to occur. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that if you go and donate blood, your iron level will come down very quickly. So if it's really high, it's outside the range, you can actually get a prescription from your doctor to donate blood every couple of weeks until your iron comes down. But if it's not that high, it's say right in the middle of the range, and you want to get it down to the 25th percentile, right? You can just go donate blood just as anybody would, mm-hmm. without a prescription, and go back again 6-8 weeks later when they'll let you come back, donate again, and your iron will come down into that range.
I know I am a regular donator just because I think it's a good thing to do. And but they always test your iron level before you donate,
right?
Because they don't want somebody donating that is below, I believe it's 12.2 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people are much, much higher than that, mm-hmm. 17, 18, 19. And those are the people that have very high inflammation and lots of damage happening to their mitochondria. Mm. Right. So those are the main tests that you want to ask for. Now, you can also, there's another test you can ask your doctor for, which is a test that's a ratio between the breakdown and repair of your body. Mm-hmm. So, they test it with a hormone that's in your urine. And so you can ask your doctor for that test. Say, I want that ratio of breakdown and repair. The hormone
called?
Test, that it's got a complicated name, but they all know it by that.
So breakdown and repair.
Breakdown and repair ratio, mm-hmm. and they'll make the test for you. And then you can see where you stand in terms of how fast your inflammation's breaking you down versus how fast your body's repairing itself.
I would think that if your doctor was ordering any kind of procedure done, whether it's a dermatology procedure or minor surgery, that you would want to know those things before you ever go, for sure, because it'll tell you how fast you're going to heal.
It is, and you can also modify that ratio using the Barley and Boomer Boost we talked about, mm-hmm. because it's going to slow your rate of breakdown for mm-hmm. certain, and you measure that with your CRP, but it's also going to increase your rate of repair. Mm-hmm. And your body repairs itself partly used by making new proteins, mm-hmm. and having those proteins, you know, build your structures, right? And in order for those proteins to be made, you have to have the amino acids that are the building blocks, and you have to have metabolic enzymes that act as the glue that puts them together. And so in the products that we're referring to, there's plenty of those amino acids, and there's also plenty of those metabolic enzymes, which will allow you to rebuild your body at a very high rate, so that you actually can go from a state where you are in this state of constant breakdown, and you can go into a state where your repair is actually equal to your breakdown or better. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see people so-called de-age, mm-hmm. because they've actually rebuilt their body from its broken down state.
Right. And I think a lot of people don't understand that they're capable of doing that. You know, they believe this is my body, this is the way it's going to be. And we have so much more capability of taking charge of our health today than ever before.
You do. because of the products that are available and the knowledge, and also people have time to do it.
Yes.
Also, a lot more people are retired and might only work part-time. And so people have time to pay attention to it, learn about it, set their products up, spend a couple of minutes in the first part of the day to take them. And you can very easily move into that direction. Mm-hmm. And you can do that with basic, foundational nutrition that is the right kind will do that for you. Mm-hmm. But there's also many, many different specific nutrients that can help even further reduce your inflammation, mm-hmm. further increase your rate of rebuild, things that will enhance the number of adult stem cells that are being made, mm-hmm. things that will infuse them with growth hormones, products specifically for having your brain function better, products for sleep, which allows you to detox better and mm-hmm. rebuild during the nighttime.
Right, because if you don't get the right. sleep that you need, mm-hmm. that inflammation level is not going to go down either.
Right. And the other thing is the balance of good and bad bacteria. There are a lot of scientists that believe that the primary cause of inflammation is actually an imbalance of bacteria in your gut.
Okay.
And as a result, it's creating issues that then inflammation responds to. And so if you have inflammation in your gut and you have colitis or you have Crohn's disease or it ends up causing allergies and asthma, those are very inflammatory. And so many good functional medicine doctors will first look at the person's gut and decide if they have the right balance of good and bad bacteria and whether or not that's a source of their inflammation and help them to balance that as the very first thing that they do.
So I'm curious now, how does a doctor look at a person's gut to know whether or not it's balanced, you know, with the good and the bad bacteria?
They do it the most comprehensive and accurate way is with a stool sample. So you can find out what the different levels are of all the different bacteria.
You know, what strikes me as kind of funny is that when you take a dog or a cat in, that's the one thing that the vet always wants mm-hmm. is bring in a recent stool sample.
Right.
We don't do that as human beings
right.
when we
right.
go to our doctor.
Yeah, and it's really important because our bodies, in a sense, in terms of the number of cells, mm-hmm. we're only 1/10 human. And 90% of us are actually bacteria and viruses and funguses and parasites.
90%?
Yeah, 90%. And so if you tend to the 90% of you that's other than human. Then because it's having a dramatic effect on your humanness, because the genetic expression we talked about earlier that vitamin D is doing, okay, that's also being acted upon by metabolites and bacterial DNA, from bacterial DNA. So you'll take in certain compounds into your mouth by mouth. It'll activate the DNA of a bacteria, which in turn goes through a process of and then activates the DNA of the human. And so we're a symbiotic beingness, okay? A lot of our neurotransmitters, which give us consciousness, are actually made partly with the assistance of bacteria. And so without bacteria in your gut, you wouldn't even be able to think. And so the fact is, we are human beings, we have human DNA, which you can actually identify. But in addition to that, inside and clinging to our body on our skin are many, many trillions of bacteria. And the communication that's going on between bacteria and human and bacteria and bacteria is happening trillions of times a second. And that is how we are up walking around. We're a symbiotic being that is approximately 1/10 human.
I guess if you could stand in front of the right kind of camera, we would be in constant motion with the bacteria, because bacteria move.
Yeah. Well, they're not only moving themselves, but in the inside mm-hmm. of all human cells and bacterial cells have constant movement also inside the cell.
Right. That would be crazy to look at.
Yeah. So that gut balance, really important. The other thing really important is digestion. Mm-hmm. Right? And so most people, when they eat their food, they don't have enough knowledge and focus to do it properly. So you have to first know how to manage the terrain of the different aspects of your alimentary canal. So it starts in your mouth, and most people have too much of the wrong kind of bacteria in their mouth. And so it hampers their ability to digest food. And people tend to gulp their food instead of chewing it really well. Mm-hmm. And a good example we talked about before, we talked about arginine, helping to produce nitric oxide for your circulation. Well, when you eat food, it's coming in a particular form of nitrogen, and it has to be broken down in your mouth in one stage and then in your stomach in the next stage, which allows it to become nitric oxide. So if you're gulping your food down, even though you may have eaten good foods that could give rise to good circulation, it doesn't because you didn't spend time chewing your food. Yeah. And then when the food arrives in your stomach, you're going to digest that food with acid and also with digestive enzymes. And as people age, they have less of those. Mm-hmm. And so that's why people, as they get older, tend to get heartburn, or they tend to be burping their food back up, and they're having trouble with their energy and the like. It's because the food is kind of sitting in their stomach, not being digested, and it's fermenting and rotting. And then it will arrive in your small intestine undigested, and it's very hard for your small intestine to absorb the nutrients out of it. And so you become malnourished because of poor digestion. So what we like to help people do is get really good digestive enzymes mm-hmm. to take with their meals mm-hmm. so that, and chew their food really well, take the digestive enzymes, and then when the chyme, which is the liquid in your stomach that's digested food, arrives in your small intestine, it's the correct pH, it's fully digested to the extent that your stomach does it. Mm. And then it's much easier then for your small intestine to finish the digestion process with input from the gallbladder and input from the pancreas. So now you have food that can be absorbed, right? And so people have to understand this process and commit to it when they're eating food. It's a really, really big part of being healthy and keeping your inflammation down. If you have rotted food in your stomach mm-hmm. that you didn't chew and you weren't able to digest, your inflammation is going to go way up.
I would think that, going back to conversation at the dinner table leads to slowing all of that down. So, if you're on in the run, just constantly moving, and I've got a soccer game to get to, I've got this, and mm-hmm. where you're just like the gulping of food, if they could somehow sort of come back to the dinner hour as being that sacred hour, mm-hmm. or at least a half hour where you can sit together, talk, chew slowly, maybe, listen to soft music in the background, something that isn't the news blaring with all the bad news of the day mm-hmm. that probably doesn't help indigestion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. One last part that's really important mm-hmm. is the issue of stress. So mm-hmm. stress by itself causes inflammation. Mm-hmm. You go into a stress response from something that you've decided consciously or unconsciously is not good, and you end up with stress hormones that cause inflammation. And you could do everything else that we talked about today mm-hmm. properly, but if you don't manage your stress, you're still going to have inflammation.
Right.
And you're still going to be sick. So that's really important aspect to tend to also. And again, in the here in the soaring 20s, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We have access to technology that we didn't have before, right, 10 years ago, that can lead us to being able to manage our stress. So we now have a fully developed curriculum and knowledge of the emotional freedom technique that, mm-hmm, we also call tapping, and you can learn to do it for free from our website. You also have an exercise called the Ultimate Mind Calming Exercise, which is an advanced bioenergetic exercise that up until now you really couldn't learn to do unless you were a student at a very specialized school. And you also have the Heart Math Institute was able to miniaturize its inner balance device. So instead of costing $1,000 and being carried around in a suitcase, it's now on an app on your cell phone, right, and it gives you biofeedback for managing your stress.
Yeah, the inner balance I've used, and I've had other people use it, and it is quite amazing because you might think that you are calm, mm-hmm, but it tells you. I mean, it's not a matter of you kind of going, yeah, I'm feeling pretty calm, because it's a visual. And so being a visual, a lot of people have to see in order to actually understand if they are in that place of heart resonance or heart coherence. Yeah. And they can do this, you know, just by looking down at their cell phone and seeing that, yes, it's in red, which means I'm in my head, or it's in green, which means that I am in heart coherence. So I highly recommend it. And the Heart Math Institute has been around for quite a long time. Yeah. And they've done a lot of wonderful research in all areas of health.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have one of those myself. Mm-hmm. And they say the average person is of the belief that everything's okay about 5% of the time.
5%. So and 95%, the world's gone to hell.
Yeah. 95% of the time, your body mind is in a state where you're on guard to some degree. Mm-hmm. And you're
but
under
I
some
think
degree
our,
of stress.
Our news does that to us right now. I mean, if people are addicted, which many, mm-hmm, are, to Fox News or to ABC or NBC or CNN, right, or. But, you know, we no longer have accurate news to speak of. It's all, right, you know, sensationalized because that brings in listeners. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And on a day like today, right, is the 15th, mm-hmm, of January, mm-hmm, you've got really great news and really bad news, right? So you have really great news that they signed today the first part of the trade agreement with China. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. And on the same day, you now have activated the beginning of the impeachment proceedings.
Right. And so, I guess a lot of the senators and, you know, those individuals are going to be called back from wherever they've been. So they, you yeah. can't wear two hats.
Yeah. Well, the campaign start, the official caucuses start, right away now, and you know, half of the remaining candidates for the one party aren't going to be able to participate because they have to be at the impeachment proceeding. So it kind of threw this whole monkey wrench in this really important once every 4 years presidential
right,
election.
Right, right.
And so that is very stressful for a lot of people to
sure.
have that going on. While at the same time, there's cause for celebration with new trade agreements, new prosperity, and the like. But when you average it all out, 95% of the time, people are under stress.
That's so sad because stress yeah. is just so damaging.
Yeah. And when you use the inner balance device, that mm-hmm. that starts to change. You can go from 5% when part of the time that everything's okay to 10%, then 15, 20, 30, 40, 50. And if you have a commitment to this mm-hmm. and have this as a stated desire and it's a solemn commitment, mm-hmm. you can actually get the period of time where you believe everything's okay up to 99%. Mm-hmm. And the only time you're in stress reaction is if there's a true emergency.
Right. And, yeah. you know, that doesn't happen, honestly, all that often.
Right.
If we believe there's yeah. peace in the world someplace that we can focus on, yeah. then there can be peace in your life.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're out and about driving and this and that, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to be, by the time you drive from home to the grocery store, you're probably going to be stressed once or twice with you know, things that are happening in traffic.
That's true.
And but what you're trying to avoid is this unconscious cognitive commitment where you've labeled everything that's going on
as stressful.
And the inner balance helps you to reframe all that by focusing on gratitude, et cetera, so that you change the whole signaling system of your body mind where you're feeling much more peaceful.
You know, many, many years ago, when men in particular and women would go to monasteries to live, I would think if you looked at the longevity, that a lot of them live very long lives. Because even back then, when the rest of the world wasn't in a very good place, there wasn't that much stress because they lived in a prayerful existence. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, today we are bombarded through social media, through news, through our apps, through whatever devices we might be holding. We're constantly informed of either the good or the bad. Just depends on where you're looking.
Yep, absolutely.
So, wow. Very, very interesting. So inflammation, in a nutshell, can be controlled. And it can be controlled through what we do with our heads, what we do with the ingesting of foods into our bodies, whether we're going to take an active part in foundational nutrition by using supplements like Boomers has, the barley in particular, but the Boost as well, whether we're going to maybe add other kinds of optimal supplements for a particular diagnosis that a person might have. But it's all under our choice and our control. And that should make people feel good, is that I don't have to just sit here and say, I'm diabetic, I have high blood pressure, I have high cholesterol, I have stress. They can actually say, I can do something about this.
That's absolutely right. So, if you look at what people witness with, say, people with diabetes in general, the general public witnesses their progressive dispossession of their physical resources. And so if they then go to the doctor and are diagnosed with diabetes, their subconscious mind immediately goes, oh, I'm going to have this progressive decline.
Yeah, right. And it doesn't have to be that way.
It's called a collective nocebo. The fact of the matter is we have customers that are completely outside of that nocebo of rapid aging and are existing in a state of robust health that looks nothing at all like the average person with diabetes.
Right. Yeah. It's very, very true. Well, Bob, it's always fascinating to have you on the show. I'd love having you as a regular because I think that the listeners in general have the opportunity to educate themselves and take control, you know, of their health, of their wellness, you know, across the board, whether it's emotional wellness, spiritual wellness, physical or mental. So the next time you're back, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about at that point. We always have fun figuring it out, but I want to thank you for being on, you know, my show and, you know, a long-term relationship here and getting healthy in every possible way.
Thank you.
And for everybody out there who has maybe listened to the show today and they know that there is a relative or a friend, a loved one that should be listening to Bob discuss inflammation and how that impacts your life, please go to the SynergyConnectionRadio.com website and you can click on show notes. You can find Bob's show will be the latest one that'll be up. And that way they can pick up where the live show left off. And I would appreciate, certainly, if you decide to go there, use my name, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, and you'll get $5 off of your order. And that's Boomers trying to help everybody get healthy and me trying to guide people to the website so that they will know how to do so. Thanks again for joining us on the Synergy Connection Radio Show.
Thank you for listening to the Synergy Connection Show. If you wanted to know more about the products Bob spoke about on today's show, please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y connectionradio.com. Click on the Boomers Vibrate a New banner on the homepage. Use promo code Lucy, that's L-U-C-Y, at checkout to save $5 on your order. Don't forget to tune in next week to the Synergy Connection Show.